This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by Panorama, and then our feature, Culture and Society. We shall close with the news for young people. I am John Baptist Tumusime. On Thursday, Pope Francis received an audience members of the Italian Catholic lay movement known as Catholic Action, who comprised of children, families, adult men and women, students, workers, and youth. The movement is very active in all the Catholic dioceses in Italy, especially at the grassroots level in the parishes. Formed in 1867, the movement played a crucial role in the creation of the Italian state and in the reconstruction of Italy after the Second World War. Its members were some of the main contributors to the current Italian constitution. The meeting with the Pope took place in the context of the Holy Father's ongoing program to meet the various Italian Catholic movements. In his address, the Pope reflected on the theme with the open arms that the movement had chosen. He said open arms brings to mind the idea of a hug, and explained that the hug is one of the most spontaneous expressions of the human experience, noting that it is the first gesture of welcome by our parents, and then others follow. He distinguished between three types of hugs: the hug that is missing, the hug that saves, and the hug that changes one's life.
Primo, l'abbraccio che manca.
The Pope said a missing hug is a rejected embrace that we experience in the forms of closures and resistance and violence that spring from distrust, misunderstanding, suspicion, and prejudices. In such circumstances, the Pope said the hug is not a vehicle of brotherhood, but of refusal and opposition. The saving hug, he added, is an expression of positive and fundamental values such as affection, esteem, trust, encouragement, and reconciliation. But it becomes more vital when it is lived in the dimension of faith. At the center of our existence, the Pope went on, is precisely the merciful embrace of God who saves, the God Father who revealed himself in Jesus, and whose face is reflected in the gestures of forgiveness, healing, liberation, and of service. The hug that changes life, on the other hand, is a fundamental change that is a new way of loving our neighbor and God. It means putting ourselves and one's life totally in the hands of God and to allow oneself to be guided by God's will. This was the hug that the saints embraced, and if it was valid for them, it is also valid for us.
Così potrete porre segni concreti.
Pope Francis invited the members of Catholic Action to let Christ guide their lives so that they can embrace others with the same love and charity of Christ. He reminded them that they will reflect the presence of Christ in their lives the more they know how to embrace and support every brother in need with the merciful and compassionate arms. Earlier, Pope Francis had received an audience of pilgrims from Hungary who were accompanied by the country's new president, Mr. Thomas Suliyoko, and the primate of the church in the country, Cardinal Peter Edo. Pope Francis visited Hungary in April last year, and images of that visit came out vividly in his address to the Hungarian pilgrims.
Sono venuto in mezzo a voi come pellegrino, come fratello e come amico.
The Pope said he visited Hungary as a pilgrim, as a brother, and as a friend. He invited the pilgrims to live the gift of peace brought to us by the risen Christ by living in peace with the others, starting from their homes. He also encouraged them to walk in dialogue with the generations that preceded them, that is, by being close to grandparents and the elderly, from whom they will learn more about their roots, because by safeguarding their roots, they will be able to look forward with confidence and to strengthen themselves in the values of family, unity, and peace, which give life. Addressing himself to priests and men and women religious, as well as bishops among the pilgrims, the Pope invited them to adopt the style of God in their lives, which is made of tenderness, closeness, and compassion. Reports from South Sudan say the Apostolic Nuncio to the country, Archbishop Hubertus Van Meegen, will visit the Diocese of Rumbek from this coming Saturday, April 27th, to Tuesday next week, April 30th. He will preside over Holy Mass on Sunday at the Cathedral of Rumbek and also meet the clergy. On Monday, he will preside over Holy Mass on the occasion of the 10th anniversary of the presence of the Spirit and missionaries in the Diocese of Rumbek. The visit comes after the General Council of the Congregation of the Komboni Missionaries, to which the Bishop of Rumbek, Christian Kalasari, belongs, issued a letter of solidarity with him following the release last month of Father John Mathiang Machol, who had been sentenced to 14 years in jail for organizing the attempted murder against him in April 2021. The retired Archbishop of Gulu Catholic Archdiocese in Uganda, who is now serving as the administrator of the archdiocese, His Grace John Baptist Odamam, has announced that the installation of the new Archbishop, His Grace Raphael Wokorach, will take place on July 12th this year in Gulu, and the main guest will be the Apostolic Nuncio to Uganda, Archbishop Luigi Bianco. Archbishop Odama has called upon the faithful and well-wishers to prepare to welcome the new Archbishop and to give him all the necessary support to carry out his ministry. Archbishop-elect Wokorach was the Bishop of Nebbi Catholic Diocese before Pope Francis appointed him Archbishop of Gulu in March this year. He is a member of the Komboni Missionaries. Archbishop Odama retired after reaching the age limit. In the Catholic Church, bishops retire at the age of 75 years. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
King Charles of Britain has given his assent to legislation central to Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's plan to send asylum seekers to Rwanda. Approval by the King is the final stage in the legislative process and effectively rubber stamps the decision taken by the UK Parliament on Tuesday to approve the bill after a long battle between the government and opponents of the plan. The royal assent was announced in the House of Lords on Thursday, meaning the Safety of Rwanda Bill will now become law. South Africa's military will extend the deployment of its troops in Mozambique and the Democratic Republic of Congo, two countries currently experiencing conflict. The announcement was made through a statement issued on Wednesday by President Cyril Ramaphosa. The extension for an unspecified amount of time will keep 1,198 personnel of the South African National Defence Force, or SANDF, in eastern Congo, where they are part of a UN peacekeeping force helping the country to fight rebel groups. The statement also said that 1,495 members of the South African Defence Forces will continue their operations in Mozambique, where they have been supporting the government's fight against violent extremism in the northern areas of the country since 2021. South Africa's military deployments abroad have come under domestic scrutiny this year after two members of the military were killed and three wounded by a mortar bomb in the DRC in February. Human Rights Watch has said in a new report that Burkina Faso's military forces killed more than 220 civilians, including at least 56 children, in a single day this year. An investigation by the rights group found that in the attacks on the 25th of February, the army killed 179 people in Soro village and 44 others in the nearby Nondin village. The mass killings are believed to be retaliation by the military, which accused the villagers of aiding armed Islamist fighters. They followed an attack by jihadists on a nearby military camp in the northern Yatega province. The human rights organization called on the United Nations and the African Union to provide investigators and to support local efforts to bring those responsible to justice. Burkinabe authorities have not commented on the report. The Sahel country is ruled by a military junta which seized power in a coup in 2022, promising to end the insurgency. In Nigeria, at least 118 inmates escaped from Suleja prison near the capital Abuja after heavy rain damaged a part of the facility, a prison spokesperson said on Thursday. The rain on Wednesday night lasted several hours. At least 10 have since been recaptured and a manhunt has been launched to find the others, authorities said. The government of Tanzania has denied allegations that villagers have been subjected to abuses, including forced evictions, as part of a project to expand the Ruaha National Park in the south of the country. Earlier this week, the World Bank said it has suspended its funding of a $150 million tourism project in the national park, saying it was deeply concerned about the allegations. Government spokesperson Mobare Matinyi told state broadcaster TBC that the government does not violate human rights when implementing all its projects, including the Ruaha National Park project. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
This is Culture and Society, and welcome to the program. My name is Kenyatta Godfrey Kampamba. It is sometimes hard to imagine how for thousands of years people lived without the technology that we have today. In fact, our ancestors simply relied on their skills, knowledge and resources available to them. That way, they developed survival skills and techniques that allowed them to hunt, gather, farm, build shelter and create tools and weapons without the aid of modern technology. In today's rapidly evolving world, characterized by conflicts, climate change, and the advent of new technologies like artificial intelligence, navigating the sophistication of modernity can be daunting for anyone. If the developed world can pose complications for able-bodied persons today, for individuals with disabilities, even minor shifts can significantly impact their lives. Some of the biggest barriers for people with disabilities include negative attitudes of people towards disability, a physical environment that is not accessible, lack of relevant assistive and adaptive technology. Heba Hagras is an Egyptian sociologist and United Nations independent human rights expert on the rights of persons with disabilities. Hagras recently spoke to Anton Uspensky from the United Nations News, telling him that people with disabilities face unique challenges. She said that the role played by families to inspire and help young people overcome obstacles is indeed crucial.
When the computers came in and then came the internet, people did not notice that having computers and having the internet, instead of creating a haven for everybody, it has built a lot and lots of obstacles and unbeatable barriers for a number of disabilities. It took us at least from 10 to 15 years to combat this problem, convincing people who are providing such programs, make them accessible. When AI started opening up, everybody ran because we want to be included. We want AI to work at our advantage. If experts think about women, about children, about youth, about persons with disabilities, and they are designing, putting in their minds the inclusivity of whatever they are inventing, then I think it's a revolution for us. We will have some disabilities that will really disappear.
Any particular examples to those disabilities that can, as you said, disappear with use of technology?
Definitely. If, for example, you say that AI can serve in assistive technologies and in assistive tools. So if we are inventing prostheses, a leg, for example, that will receive from my brain orders on how to walk or how to manage my movement. So maybe I will be able to walk, do my sports, do whatever. If somebody cannot hear and we provide a piece of smart artificial intelligence in the earpiece that is provided for them, that they will hear through something in their brains that will be activated through this smart technology, then they will be able to hear.
Speaking about conflicts, be it Gaza, Ukraine, Sudan, anywhere in the world, what are the problems that people with disabilities face the most?
Persons with disabilities are really the first groups that suffer, be it climate change, be it health crises like COVID, be it armed conflict. So when you come to say about armed conflict, first you have two types now of people with disabilities. The people that were with disabilities before any conflict starts, and the people that the conflict have affected and they became persons with disabilities. These are two different needs, actually, because when you are used to your disability, you know your needs and you know what is needed to be helped with. But when somebody is devastated by having disability or an impairment right now, and you tell him, how can I help you? He does not know. Because the experience of being a disabled person makes you more sophisticated how you manage your life and how you ask for help. I always tell people, don't come and try to help me. Just ask me what I need and I will accordingly respond to how you can help me best. All humanitarian workers do not have any specific training to deal with persons with disabilities. I managed to contact a number of them. For them, helping in a humanitarian way to evacuate a building that has fallen or it has been bombed or whatever, they have a number of steps that does not differ between a man or a woman or a child or a person with a disability. So we need them to be better trained. With all the new rise in the number of conflicts, crises, and climate changes, I think we will need, when we are working with humanitarian aids, to better prepare everybody who is coming to help. All this is new for everybody, but what they say, that they are not ready for it, but this is the time.
On climate, what do you think is going to change in the lives of people with disabilities? What's going to be more difficult?
Actually, moving from one place to another is an issue for everybody. If you are leaving your town or your village and moving from one place to another and you are not a person with a disability, you really are not happy about it. When you are moving someone that has a network of people that help them and a network of how they stabilize their lives, the poorer people are, the more they depend on their own communities and societies for their support. It is not usually that the states that reaches out for them. So their network are totally destroyed. If I move from one house to another, from a village that got floods to a dry village, then you have really changed my whole life. It's a total big mess for persons with disabilities to move and to change their position. This is why you need somebody that is highly professional to calm them down and to adjust their new environment for them and help them with some basic provisions.
The work that you are doing is very hard. What motivates you? What gives you energy and all this strength to keep doing this job? What motivates you?
The very beginning, I didn't want to be different from my siblings. I have rheumatoid arthritis that I developed when I was 10 years old. So my first 10 years, I was a child without a disability, and then my illness got worse and my mobility got affected, so I started not being able to walk on my legs and use a wheelchair. At that time, the decision was, am I going to cry and sit and cry for what I lost, or am I going to catch up with my brothers? Because I only had brothers, I didn't have any sisters. And they were tough players and they were very active, and I was part of that. I had a very supportive family, and they never dealt with me that I'm different after having this illness. So I didn't see in the eyes of my family that I am different. And this is why accessibility and being flexible in the ways that you are going to manage your life is important. We started as a family finding ways of how to have Heba on board all the time. It's equality. I took the support that my brothers took, and I was really accountable for what I did all my life accordingly. And when at a certain stage I said I want to marry, and my family were very worried, but still they left me to take the responsibility of getting into a marriage that I know it will function or not, or how I will take care of my kids. But all along, they were ready to support me the best they can. I have always found that my mother is next to me, asking me, what do you need? How can I help you with your kids? But never saying that I'm not reliable or I am not able to bring up my kids. My house and my family, we are not different from any family. This is why one of our thematic reports that we will work on, the support of the families for persons with disabilities.
Egyptian sociologist and United Nations independent human rights expert on rights of persons with disabilities, Heba Hagros, speaking there with Anton Uspensky from the United Nations News. And that is all we have time for in this edition of Culture and Society. Until next week, at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
And now, news for young people.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis is set to meet with thousands of grandparents and children in the Vatican on Saturday, the 27th of April, in an event sponsored by Italy's Fondazione Età Grande, or Old Age Foundation. The encounter in the Paul VI Hall will be dedicated to the bond between grandparents and grandchildren and is titled The Caress and the Smile. 6,000 grandparents, seniors and grandchildren are expected to attend the event, which was presented during a press conference on Monday morning at the Holy See Press Office. Pope Francis has often stressed that the elderly and grandparents are a source of richness for children and young people. Speaking at a press conference, Archbishop Vincenzo Paglia, president of the Pontifical Academy for Life, said the initiative aims to offer new perspectives on old age, underscoring the richness of old age and how it is not a burden, but a resource for people of all ages. The patrimony offered by the third age can be rediscovered, he noted, and that is why the event will feature grandparents and grandchildren, among whom there is a special harmony, togetherness, an affective dimension that is not always present among other generations. Archbishop Paglia noted that Pope Francis has on several occasions highlighted how important it is to give consideration to the third age, even instituting a World Day for Grandparents. The fourth edition of the World Day for Grandparents will be marked on the 28th of July this year. On the 15th of February, the Dicastery for Laity, Family and Life, which is in charge of organizing the day, published a theme chosen by Pope Francis for this year's observance, which is, Do Not Cast Me Off in My Old Age, from Psalm 71. In In South Africa, the Catholic youth in Eastern Cape Province have called for a more welcoming and inclusive church. In an interview with the Communications Office of the Bishops' Conference, Bishop Joseph Kizito of Aliwal Diocese said youth and young adults in the province wish to be given opportunities to contribute and to participate in the life of the church. He spoke on the sidelines of the recently held biannual plenary meeting on pastoral issues on young people for the Hosa region organized by the conference known as the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference. According to Bishop Kizito, Catholic youth in Eastern Cape called for monitoring and evaluation of the youth ministry in dioceses, including the appointment of youth chaplains. The bishop said one of the challenges faced by most youth in the province is a lack of opportunities. Hence, young people often leave for urban areas after completing high school in pursuit of better opportunities. For this reason, he said, it is important that priests and parents support the youth and listen and communicate more with them. And that's all for this edition of News for Young People. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, Development and the Economy. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.